I hate fighting. I'm a turtle. I don't like fighting with you.
But fighting is important.
I know it's important here, but down here in my body, I hate fighting.
Yeah, I get that.
I wish there was just a blueprint for how to fight and
make up.
And today we are going to teach you how to use your fights and arguments to go deeper and grow.
Yes, how to fight effectively.
You are listening to the Potential State Podcast with your hosts, Dr. Asael and Galit Romanelli.
Hi, my name is Dr. Asael Romanelli.
And I'm Galit Romanelli.
And this is the Potential State. And today we're going to be talking about how to fight and make up.
Yes.
So this is also inspired by the wonderful book, After the Fight, by Dan Weil. And basically, what he talks about is people don't know how to fight.
Right.
People don't like to fight. They don't know they're fighting, and they don't know how to get out of the fight.
Yes.
And reference our...
But they think that fighting is just bad, and it should be avoided at all costs.
Or it's a signal that something's wrong in this relationship.
Right.
Right. And in the previous episode of Conflict is a Tool for Relational Growth, we spoke about how conflict is necessary. But today we kind of want to zoom in on actually how to do it, the step by step, the play by play. And we're going to be using a real fight that we had and the fight we had about this episode as kind of reference point. But first, we want to remind everyone that when it comes to conflicts, there's two types of people. There's right. The turtles like me who avoid conflict at any cost.
And then there are thunderstorms who go into the eye of the storm.
Right. So as we're referencing this blueprint, we're going to be relating special tips for thunderstorms and turtles.
Right. And of course, we're talking about kind of normative fighting. We're not talking about domestic violence or abuse of any kind, verbal, emotional, or... Keeping it clean, people.
Keeping it clean. So basically, there are three stages to the fight. There's the attack, there's the admit, and the collaborate. So first, let's give the backdrop of our own fight.
Yes.
So it was hard for me to take time to myself, especially when the kids are awake, and just to zone out and do nothing. You can reference the guilt in parenting episode. And it was the NBA Finals, the Bucks versus the Suns, and I wanted to watch a 10-minute summary recap on YouTube. It was Friday, and we're all doing our chores, and I was about to wrap up my chores and finish my chores, and told Galit, listen, I want to watch the 10-minute NBA Finals. She was like, yeah, but maybe do it after we're all done. I was like, no, I want to do it now. And then I told her again, I was about to finish my chores. I said, Galit, maybe. She's like, maybe do it later. And then I finish my chores and I decide to take my laptop. I go into the bedroom, I lie down, and then Tzach, our eldest, he finished his chores and he wanted to also watch. Now, Tzach never sees me watch screens, certainly not enjoy screens. And I said, wow, this is a great opportunity for me to be in being, and my son to enjoy something that I enjoy, like a quality bonding fun time.
Right. Not being efficient.
So all this is going up. This is the back job, and that's what's happening to me as I'm opening the laptop and I press play. Meanwhile,
bloop, 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 over on this side, the context for me was that Fridays are usually a super hectic day. They feel really, really short. I feel like in general, I'm the one that kind of leads the charge on a clean home, an orderly home. And usually that also comes with kind of arguing and making sure that everybody does their chores and what that looks like. And I am being the thunderstorm that I am usually at the heart of. They're like, I don't want to, or do I have to do it this way? Or, and also I recognize that I am hypersensitive to traditional gender roles. And so sometimes it's hard for me to see like Tzach and Asael not doing chores while Laila and I are doing chores just because they finished before or things like that. Like I will own my shit that I kind of have a hypersensitivity there. So that's the baggage that I come with. And here I want to say that I think it's really important when we talk about fighting and when we talk about conflict to recognize that we're not coming to the fight clean. We're not coming to the fight as like a standalone. We're all coming with baggage to the fight. And so I think part of recognizing what that baggage is also helpful. And recognizing that the fight is just kind of a trigger, is just something that kind of surfaced the baggage that we're coming with, pressed on certain buttons that we have that are already existing that actually have nothing to do or little to do with specifically you or the specific context, right? Like it's possible that under other circumstances, it wouldn't have pressed my button so much. But because this is kind of baggage that I come with, it like,
right,
extra.
So I'm watching the YouTube. Galit has all this. And then she comes into the room and she does what?
And I make my snarky comments of like, oh, wow, you found a really great time to do this. Oh, it's really nice that the boys are sitting while the girls are, you know, finishing cleaning up. Or I made a couple of snarky comments.
And then I was completely triggered by that. I did not react. I was just like, I'm watching. I finished the 10 minutes. I close the laptop. I rush into the kitchen and we go into phase one. Attack.
Round one.
In attack, you basically go for the jugular.
You're not using your prefrontal cortex. You're just like, rah! It's this part.
Exactly.
The
it's you statements. It's going like, for the jugular. It's going for you.
You're not listening.
Your mom, you, everything you've done.
Some F-bombs were thrown on my part.
And I wasn't listening to her. I was just yelling in that. What he says about fighting.
A whole lot of red.
And what Dan Wilder is saying is fighting is actually good. It's a way to sublimate. It's a way to feel. It's a way to also bring back things you wouldn't say. You know, we don't, sometimes we have all these little things we want to talk about, but it's a bit negative. We don't want to bring it. And sometimes in a fight, it's a way to kind of flush
it
all
the
out.
It surfaces all the, yes. In Hebrew, we call it chlep, which is like all the ugh, all the like yuck. It just like surfaces out, and that's your opportunity to just like get it out. And here I want to say something about, so Mark Brackett in his book, Permission to Feel, he talks about kind of emotions and feelings and how these are kind of vibrations in our body. And that there are emotions that are unpleasant and high energy. And anger is one of those that's high energy and unpleasant. And I think that what we found, or what I experience a lot, is that kind of anger needs to, you have to let it out. It has to have an outlet. And so I think that part of kind of the fighting is this outlet to get it out. And, you know, I'm not saying that that's okay to kind of like shout or swear. Shouldn't have done that. But it is an opportunity to kind of, you have to get it out of your system. You have to get it out of your body.
Especially for thunderstorms who need to do that. That's the way they actually
there
can.
There has to be a release of
release
that energy.
Energy. Yes. And anger for women as well is not as simple.
Well, I think often, so I'm reading a book called Dance with Anger, and by Harriet Lern, she talks a lot about women and their anger. And I think a lot of times the message we get is, you know, bottle it down, stuff it down, ignore it. Anger's bad. Anger's dangerous. Don't let it out. You shouldn't, you know, you should be a nice lady and things like that. And we don't allow ourselves these outlets to release that energy. And it literally kind of can stifle us because we just push it down and bottle it up. And that's, body doesn't like that.
And for turtles, it's really important to sometimes have that sublimation. Freud talked about sublimation, which is expressing aggression in socially acceptable ways. Like you need to outlet, like a little bit letting that out. It's also a visceral feeling, especially if you've been a little bit emotionally numb.
Yeah, do you want to share what the experience was like for you as a turtle to all of a sudden
I was like, whoa. And the adrenaline was pumping. I was like, I don't want to listen to you. I was like, bah. And I just felt alive. There was a lot of vitality there.
Yeah.
And in that phase, Dan Wilder reminds us, it's nice to have all these communication rules, but you are not going to remember this when you are flooded.
Right.
You can check out the episode on survival mind state.
Yeah.
And what he says also is don't try to talk about the fight when you're in fighting.
Just fight it.
Just fight it. Realize this is good. This is part of every relationship. This is also part of the normal marital sadism, because the opposite of love is
apathy.
Right. So hate and love are connected. And sometimes I love you so much and you frustrate
me. There's passion there,
yeah.
Right? With both feelings, there's tremendous passion. Whereas right. With apathy, there's like flatline.
And check out the episode Passion or Yelling or Passionate.
But what I also want to say that I like about Dan Wilde's kind of setting is that he sets this container, right? With fight. Like this is the place, this is the time. Recognize that you have set aside this time. This is the container where you can shout and spew it all out and surface stuff. And if you're the kind of person that does kind of bottle it up, then like this is the, like pour it out, let it out, and recognize that that's your time frame. And it's capped, right? It's not endless,
right?
Which I think is really important to recognize that, you know, it's time bound, it's temporary, it's not going to be like this forever. It doesn't mean that, you know, you're going to continue to hurt each other or say nasty things. It's confined. And so you can allow yourself that space, and you can almost, it's like an agreeable contract that we both agree that in the fight, we can spew it.
And choose to see what your partner is saying as like a rough draft or initial draft of other things that are probably happening for them. Like, don't take everything so personal. Like, this is kind of raw. It's a spewing thing, but there's also going to be truths that you're going to be discovering
about yourself. Right, there are nuggets. There are nuggets in there.
Rough nuggets that will be clarified later in this process.
Diamonds in the rough that then can really teach you about, first of all, yourself, right? Like, what's coming up?
Right.
What have you not said? And also with your partner, like, I remember in the kitchen when you were shouting, you were saying things and I was like, who is this? Like, I've never seen this person. And part of me was like, ew, I don't like this. But part of me was like, wow, this is really, I got really curious because it was a side of you.
Of a turtle.
That, no, you were full on thunderstorm and you were like, I don't want to hear you. I don't want to hear what you have to say. And you've never done that.
And it was so good.
It was
so
like,
good.
If you can put on your curiosity glasses and just like observe, right? Like hold that duality. It's fascinating.
And sometimes when Galita's yelling, I'll mute her in my mind. Anyways, part of curiosity. Okay, that's fighting. Okay, so we had a huge fight. She dropped some F-bombs and then we kind of split ways.
And I think that's really important, right, for recovery, because he talks about recovery time. So I think it's really important to recognize that, like, when you're flooded and you're literally the little red monster in
inside out,
then, like, you're not really listening to each other so much. Like, you have to cool down. You have to be able to walk away. And you have to release that energy. So I went out for a walk and I wrote, because that always really helps me. And that lets me kind of like collect myself and breathe again and make sense of what surfaced.
And I did some push-ups and drank some water. And a lot of couples, that's where they finish the fight. They'll either wait 2 hours, 2 days, 2 weeks, and then continue as if nothing happened, or they'll do a little sorry, and never reopen it. So here's where we want to kind of move forward in the process. So this is what Dan Wild calls a recovery conversation, to try to go back into the crucible, go back and kind of dig in and see those diamonds that were emerging from the fight. So the next phase, he calls admit. Okay, what we call it, the ownership phase, right? So we're basically slow. This is a very liminal stage. We have to be very, very sensitive, and we're slowly licking our wounds. And the general idea here is each one of us is kind of owning their own shit.
Yes.
I only talk about my side of the
fight. This is crucial. I statements are really crucial here, and I'm going to let you in on a little secret. When we were revisiting this fight for this video, we kind of reenacted certain things and kind of as we were going through these stages, and Asael made an IU statement. He snuck in a little U statement and we were right back.
To attack.
We were right back at attack. So, which happens, and I think
that's,
and he talks
the,
about
yeah,
that
that's
as well. Like
yeah.
you might slide back to the attack, which just means that you have not been yet clear on your I statement. And that just is an invitation to go back and figure out, like, what do I need here? What's going on with me?
So he basically says, I'm taking responsibility for my side. I'm not saying anything about her responsibility. I'm also trying to see her point of view. So it's a combination of, I'm sorry, I did yell, I wasn't listening to you. And then as you're doing this, and this is where we kind of, this is our version, you break eye contact and go into a stream of consciousness, and you're trying to understand what Dan Wild calls the missing piece. What was missing for me in this fight that prevented me from listening to you, that triggered me so much? What was my trigger point? For some of us, you can do this in writing. For us, for me at least, it works to talk it out. And what we suggest is I break eye contact and I'm keeping it in eye language, but I'm allowing myself to kind of say, I want to kind of see what happens.
Right. Frame it as like, I'm going inside for a minute and I'm letting you watch, which is super intimate, but I'm having this conversation to try and kind of go deeper and realize, you know, what was missing for me? What did I need at that moment that I wasn't getting?
And using the I language, so what was missing for me? And if we're going back to my fight, what I needed is a recognition and a celebration of those 10 minutes that were so difficult for me to take.
Yeah.
And that was missing from that fight. And until I couldn't hear that or didn't feel it, I wasn't open to Galit at all.
Right, right.
And then part of it is realizing Galit's missing piece.
Right. And so my missing piece was to feel and recognize that I wasn't alone in chores, and I wasn't alone in trying to have, you know, a kind of gender balanced home, right? That's what was missing for me. And I think that what's beautiful about this, the admit phase, is that you're going deep inside yourself. You're saying what's missing, and that's really vulnerable. And I think that when you do that, right, we know that vulnerability creates intimacy. We know that vulnerability creates connection. And I think that when Asael was able to then say to me, I needed to take time for myself. I needed to feel like I can do that and that that time is respected. Then it recruited me and I was like, I want to protect that time. I want to preserve that time. I don't want to be someone that gets in the way of that, especially because I know that it's hard for you to do. So I want to help.
So the I statements kind of begets I statements. So I'm saying I'm owning my shit, she's owning our shit. We're creating this, we're slowly creating a pool of goodwill. We're kind of filling up our emotional love tank because we're going to need that for the next phase. Two more things here, caveats here. One, he calls it the nice guy backlash. I might be an admit, but Galit might still be an attack. We both need to realize that we might slip back into attack. Like, right. Don't be frustrated or surprised by that. You might need to take a longer time out and come back, but it's a very liminal stage. And even if she goes for the you, I can still go back to I, using play, using owning our shit, regulating ourselves. So that is the admit phase. So figure out what's the missing piece, figure out her missing piece, I statements, own your shit. Once you have the admit phase, and this for us took two rounds. It was once in the kitchen, and then we went to the bedroom, and we were kind of slowly, each one of us owning our shit. And then once you do that enough, you get to go to the third phase, which is collaborate.
Right.
Which is basically going up on the balcony, on the joint platform, and looking at our relationship and looking at that fight.
Which is kind of goes back to what I was saying about how when I recognize that I know that this is a challenge that you face, bigger picture, right? Like not specifically with this 10 minutes that you needed, but like, I know that this is something that you're working on. I know that this is something that's hard for you. Then I want to be a part of that. And that's kind of where the collaboration comes in. Because I want you to have those moments and I want you to feel, you know, that you're worthy. And I want you to have those moments where you can take time for yourself and be less efficient, right? So that's kind of the collaboration piece where you can take that more zoomed out and recognize it's not this specific fight. There's a bigger challenge here. And how can we as partners help each other get those goals, you know, that each one of us as individuals is trying to reach.
And that's the phase also that I could ask for certain things that I can slowly, gently, with a lot of play, also kind of talk about things I would like from you. Like that's where we can zoom out and go into more also you statements. Like,
that's where you can look at the relationship as a system.
Yeah.
And recognize, you know, how am I making this harder for you? How can I make this easier for you?
Or that sentence that you say, SL, really triggers me. So the you statements here sound completely different.
Right.
We have a lot of goodwill. We're solid enough. We're on the balcony. We're looking at it together. We're each owning our shit. And we're seeing the systemic dance. And we're trying to plumb. He calls it plumbing the fight. Like, what are the learns? What are the diamonds here? What are the needs that are coming up? Wishes, needs, fantasies, dreams. And if we can kind of go through that cycle and know which stage you're in, you will be not only fighting better, but you will actually be...
You'll be making up and you'll be becoming more intimate. You'll have a better understanding of each other. Right?
Like, you'll go also deeper. Yeah. At the end of the day, the ruptures and repairs, the fighting and making
there's
up.
Gold there.
That's
there's
what
gold.
Makes the relationship.
Yeah.
That's what makes it worthwhile. That is
you
the
gotta get your hands dirty.
So remain playful, own your shit, let it land, say the thing, and don't be afraid to go into the fight, plumb it, and see the gold that comes out.
Yeah.
This was Galit Romanelli.
Dr. Asael Romanelli.
And we're the Potential State.
You're doing a little heart.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Potential State podcast. For more information, visit us at potentialstate.com. Thanks for listening.